They impiously mocked more and more, gnashing at me with their teeth. How long, O Lord, wilt thou look on? Rescue me from their ravages, my life from the lions. Then I will thank thee in the great congregation. In the mighty throng I will praise thee. Let not those rejoice over me who are wrongfully my foes, and let not those who wink the eye who hate me without cease. For they do not speak peace, but against those who are quiet in the land, they conceive words of deceit. They open wide their mouths against me. They say, Aha, aha, our eyes have seen it. Thou hast seen, O Lord, be not silent. O Lord, be not far from me. Bestir thyself, and awake for my right, for my cause, my God and my Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say to themselves, Aha, we have our heart's desire. Let them not say, We have swallowed her up. Let them be put to shame and confusion altogether, who rejoice at my calamity. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor, who magnify themselves against me. Let those who desire my vindication shout for joy and be glad, and say forevermore, Great is the Lord, who delights in the welfare of his servant. Then my tongue shall tell of the righteousness and of thy praise all the day long.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
My voice rises to God, and I will cry aloud. My voice rises to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. When I remember God, then I am disturbed. When I sigh, then my spirit grows faint. Thou hast held my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of long ago. I will remember my song in the night. I will meditate with my heart, and my spirit ponders. Will the Lord reject forever? And will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Then I said, It is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate on all thy work and muse on thy deeds. Thy way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? Thou art the God who workest wonders. Thou hast made known thy strength among the peoples. Thou hast by thy power redeemed thy people. Thou hast by thy power redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee, they were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Thy arrows flashed here and there. The sound of thy thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way was in the sea, and thy paths in the mighty waters, and thy footprints may not be known. Thou didst lead thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Word which came to the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and God brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. And God led me round among them, and behold, there were very many upon the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And God said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again God said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And as I looked, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. Then God said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore, prophesy, and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves, and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you home into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, says the Lord.
Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. And Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
We Southeasterners are bound up in the bonds of institutional death. No misty-eyed grasping for straws can dispel the harsh reality of our impending communal doom. This death is not to be sudden, merciful, but agonizing and tedious. The details of this agony we already know too well. We must watch as piece by piece of our communal body falls away. And yes, we shall scream and cry and moan. We shall call out like the psalmist to God to take vengeance on those who seek to rend us apart and scatter us to the winds. We shall be divided among ourselves, and we will hurt each other in our pain. And we shall claim the right to experience this agony fully. As does any creature who does not wish to die, we shall fight this death to the end. And we must exclaim psalms like the vindictive Psalm 35, because we know what it is to feel vindictive. We know what it is to despise. We must never deny the depths of our anger, lest our anger consume us. We also know our own evils. We know our own tendencies towards exclusiveness and self-righteousness, and we fool ourselves if we fail to acknowledge these. And on a more hidden level, we know our idolatrous love for secure structures, even when such structures have long ago lost their efficiency. We love these structures more for the identity they give us than for the mission they facilitate. And we have been injured. We have been persecuted. We need not apologize for naming ourselves victims. And we are experiencing genuine loss of valuable family bonds. And so we have read these three psalms today in order to acknowledge more fully our corporate pain. This pain is real and it is tragic. And he set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones, and there were very many, and they were very dry. Dry bones. Bones that once belonged to laughing, crying, breathing persons. The bones of once effective and meaningful communal ties. The bones of a perished nation, a perished cultus, a perished people. And Ezekiel knew that to these Judahites, when Jerusalem was lost, so was God. Judah had experienced God so thoroughly, so meaningfully through the specifics of place, that they mistook their cult for God. And why shouldn't they? They grew up going to Jerusalem Sunday school classes. They sent their children to Jerusalem liberal arts schools. They had sacrificed for the Jerusalem Cooperative Program. They went to church in God's own house. How can we blame them? Like us, they knew God only through God's embodiment in their world, in their institutions, in their priests, in their buildings. They asked themselves, how can we sing Yahweh's song in a strange land? These things happened to the Judahites, and they happened to us, because our God is a most marvelous invader of specifics. God permeates the particular, ordinary mundacity of our human existence. So we worship an incarnate God, a God with us. But God is never tied up completely in specific specifics. So what does this God do when certain specifics lose relevancy or certain places of embodiment die? God transforms old bones into new bodies. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together. Now the new bodies made from the old bones were different. Those who were exiled to Babylon and those left behind were changed by the experience. They became different people. But God breathed the breath of life, the Ruach, into these exiles, and they knew God even in Babylon. They had feared being cut off, but God did not cut them off, even though they were cut off from Jerusalem. Remember the parable of the sower, spoken by Jesus centuries after the exile. Much seed had perished and failed. Much was lost. But other seed brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. When one place is choked out, God invades another. God refused to be imprisoned by the Jerusalem cultus, and God refuses to be imprisoned by denominational ritual. Yes, the death of our southeastern cultus with all its communal strength and power is tragic. Many losses are yet to be experienced. Many hurts are yet to be felt. And before new life is breathed into our bones, we will experience communal death in full. No, we will not give up the struggle to preserve the skeleton of this institution or the skeleton of this convention. Neither will we give up the struggle for religious and academic freedom. But when we have lost the bones, may we then know that God's embodiment is perennial. These new embodiments of ourselves and our communities will be young, vibrant, and fresh. And they will be different. But we need not fear these new bodies. We will no longer have to limp awkwardly with stale systems, assembly line literature, and worn-out traditions. These weights will now be ours to cast aside. The foundations of a structure are its determinant factors. We may just get the opportunity to shape and form new, vibrant structures which more aptly fit the needs of a troubled 20th century. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live."
Let's remain standing and read the benediction together. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign, which shall not be cut off.